KJAN Sports.
Time for Check of Sports. Good morning, I'm Jim Field. The Drake men's basketball team fell to 6-7 overall, 0-2 in the Missouri Valley Conference with a 75-63 loss to Wichita State last night in Des Moines. The Shockers are now 13-1 overall. They're 2-0 in the Valley. Drake coach Mark Phelps says the most telling statistic was the Bulldogs' 19 turnovers.
You know, we killed ourselves taking care of the ball. We've got to do a better job taking care of the ball. And, you know, it's not just point guard play. I think we had 5 turnovers from point guard play. But, you know, we got some older guys that didn't take care of the ball too well tonight.
The Bulldogs' leading scorer this season, senior Ben Simons, managed to fire up just 6 shots from the floor as he scored just 8 points. Phelps gave credit to the Wichita State defense.
Certainly they're keying on Ben, but, you know, we got to get more productivity out of, you know, your preseason first team all Missouri Valley player. And he'll step up. You know, he's wanting to in a really bad way. Sometimes you get in one of those modes where you want to so badly that it kind of, you know, has a reverse effect on you. But he'll step up.
On Saturday, Drake will play host to Missouri State. The Bears lost at Evansville last night in overtime, 62-59. Well, Justin Gant, scored 18 points, and Jake Odom, 16, to lead Indiana State to a 65-61 victory against Northern Iowa last night. The Sycamores never trailed after 3:43 left in the first half and held on despite making just 4 of 8 from the free throw line in the last 34 seconds. Trailing by 3 points, Northern Iowa called its final timeout with 6.5 seconds left to set up a final play, but the Panthers turned the ball over and Lucas Idle hit a free throw for Indiana State. Seth Tuttle had 24 points and 10 rebounds, and James Anthony added 12 points for Northern Iowa in that contest. The Panthers fall to 7-7. They're 0-2 in the Valley. The Sycamores are 9-4. They're 2-0 in Valley play. Well, Jim Boeheim is all alone in this as the second winningest coach in Division I men's basketball. Boeheim moved ahead of Bob Knight with his 903rd victory as 7th-ranked Syracuse ripped Rutgers 78-53. Brandon Trish drained 5 three-pointers and scored a season-high 25 points to lead the Orange to their 33rd consecutive home victory. They're now 13-1 on the season. Duke coach Mike Krzyzewski remains 37 wins ahead of Boeheim after the top-ranked Blue Devils completed a 67-50 win over Davidson at home in Charlotte. Ryan Kelly scored 18 points for the Blue Devils, who were tied at the intermission before they opened the second half on a 12-0 run. They improved to 13-0. Elsewhere in the top 25, 4th-ranked Louisville had an 80-62 win over Providence as Russ Smith scored a game-high 23 points and the Cardinals shot 53%, winning their Big East opener. They're now 13-1. Deshaun Thomas outscored Nebraska in the first half 18-17, and he finished with 22, leading number 8 Ohio State past the Cornhuskers 70-44. Illinois lost its Big Ten opener as Tyrone Johnson finished with a career-high 25 points, leading Purdue past the 11th-ranked Illini 68-61. Ethan Raggi shot 6-for-9 from three-point range and scored 18 points to lead number 16 Creighton over Illinois State 79-72. Butler has an 8-game win streak after Roosevelt Jones scored a career-high 24 points to lead the 17th-rated Bulldogs past Penn 70-57. And Jamal Franklin's 18 points and 12 rebounds carried number 19 San Diego State to a 72-57 victory against Cal State Bakersfield. In women's college hoops last night, the Iowa State team won their Big 12 conference opener, but it wasn't easy. The Cyclones staged a second-half rally and beat Texas in overtime 73-65 last night in Ames. ISU coach Bill Fenley was relieved, especially since it took the Cyclones 6 tries to notch their first conference win last season.
Welcome to the Big 12, right? Just a great way to start the new year, great way to start the Big 12. Only 17 more of these to go, I guess. Fans were phenomenal. As always, they are, but our team really needed them tonight.
Well, just over 7,100 fans attended the game at Hilton Coliseum. The Cyclones were led in scoring by a couple of seniors. Anna Prinz finished with 17 points, and Chelsea Poppins added 16.
And when you win in the Big 12, find a way to win. You got to have good guard play, which I thought we did tonight. But your seniors sometimes got to will yourself to win. And I thought our seniors in the last 20 minutes and in the overtime willed our team to win. And I'm very proud of that.
Nikki Moody recorded a double-double for the Cyclones with 14 points and 10 assists while she added 6 rebounds. With that win, Iowa State improves to 10-1 overall. Texas drops to 7-5. The Iowa women opened the Big Ten season hosting 24th-ranked Ohio State in Iowa City tonight. Hawkeye coach Lisa Bluter says they've prepared well with a tough non-conference schedule.
You know, Ohio State comes in here ranked in the top 25. We should be ready for that. We've faced numerous teams in the top 25. We've done well against them. I think our team is excited to start Big Ten play and get going with this season. But, of course, Ohio State, we only play them one time all year, and this is it, the first game, which is kind of strange out of the gates. But last year we only got to play them one time. It was at their place. And so we're looking forward to having them on our home court again.
Well, the Hawkeyes host Michigan after Ohio State, making it important to get off to a good start.
We know from experience that if you want to do well in the Big Ten, you have to do well at home. If you want to finish in the top half, if you want to finish in the top, you know, four or five teams in this conference, you have to take care of home court. So right away, these two games are pretty important for us.
Iowa's gotten some votes in the polls, and Bluder believes they should get enough to be ranked as they have an RPI of 19. Buckeyes come in with a 10-3 record, Iowa 12-3 entering tonight's contest. In the NBA last night, a big slate of games. It was Chicago over Orlando 96-94, Toronto beat Portland 102-79, Sacramento down in Cleveland 97-94, Indiana beat Washington 89-81, Miami in overtime over Dallas 119-109, Memphis by 10 over Boston 93-83, Brooklyn beat Oklahoma City 110-93, it was Houston over New Orleans 104-92, San Antonio beating Milwaukee 117-110, Utah topping Minnesota 106-84, Phoenix beat Philadelphia 95-89. Golden State, a winner over the LA Clippers, 115-94. Well, the Florida Gators had hoped to finish second or third in the final Associated Press college football poll if they could put together an impressive victory over Louisville in the Sugar Bowl. Instead, it was the 22nd-ranked Cardinals using a dominant performance to roll past the 4th-ranked Gators 33-23 at New Orleans last night. The Cardinals took the lead for good when Terrell Floyd returned an interception 38 yards for a touchdown in the first play from scrimmage. Teddy Bridgewater threw for 2 touchdowns and was 20 of 32 for 266 yards against a team that ranked among the nation's top 3 in most passing stats. Once Jeremy Wright scored a short touchdown run to make it 14-0 and marked the first time all season that Florida trailed by more than 10 points. Gators quarterback Jeff Driscoll turned the ball over 3 times on 2 interceptions and a fumble. He finished 16 of 29 for 175 yards after entering the game with just 3 interceptions all season. Both those teams finished the year with the 11-2 records. Well, top-ranked Notre Dame and number 2 Alabama arrived in Florida yesterday, where they'll continue to prepare for Monday night's BCS championship game. It's a matchup that was set more than a month ago. It's a return home for the Crimson Tide's coach, Nick Saban. He coached the Miami Dolphins before a messy departure for Alabama, famously saying toward the end of his tenure in South Florida that he wasn't going to be the Alabama coach. He was hired by the Tide not long afterward. A person familiar with Andy Reid's plans tells the Associated Press that the former Eagles head coach is interviewing with the Chiefs for their head coaching vacancy. Reid was one of several NFL coaches fired on Monday, along with Kansas City's Romeo Crennel. Kansas City has also interviewed Atlanta offensive coordinator Dirk Cutter, but Falcons coach Mike Smith says Cutter signed a new contract and would not be a candidate for head coaching jobs this season. The Arizona Cardinals have completed an extensive interview with defensive coordinator Ray Horton in the search for a replacement for fired coach Ken Wisenhunt. Next up is former Eagles coach Andy Reid, who could interview as early as Thursday. Cardinals president Michael Bidwell has also identified Broncos offensive coordinator Mike McCoy as a candidate to replace Wisenhunt, who was dismissed after 6 seasons. The Cardinals plan to interview McCoy in Denver this weekend. Oregon's Chip Kelly appears to be near the top of the Browns' coaching wish list. According to several reports, Cleveland's CEO Joe Banner is in Arizona and intends to interview Kelly, who is preparing the Ducks to play in Thursday's Fiesta Bowl. Kelly has been courted by NFL teams in the past and came close to taking Tampa Bay's job last year. Kelly has deflected questions about a possible jump to the pros, saying that he's focused on finishing his 4th season at Oregon. Packers offensive coordinator Tom Clements tells the Green Bay Press Gazette and ESPNWisconsin.com that the Chicago Bears have asked the Packers for permission to talk to Clements about their head coaching position. Permission has been granted, but NFL rules prohibit Clements from talking to the Bears at least until after Saturday night's playoff game against Minnesota. Consultant Ron Wolf says the San Diego Chargers began interviewing candidates to replace fired general manager A.J. Smith. The Chargers aren't giving specifics, but Wolf says Tuesday's interview was in San Diego and didn't involve an outside candidate. That would leave Jimmy Ray, the Chargers' director of player personnel, who is known to be a candidate. Well, the Baltimore Ravens had to play most of the regular season without Ray Lewis, and they'll have to get along without him next season. The 13-time Pro Bowl linebacker will end his brilliant 17-year NFL career after the Ravens complete their 2013 playoff run. He's been sidelined since October 14th with a torn right triceps, and he intends to return Sunday to face the Indianapolis Colts in what will almost certainly be his final home game. The 37-year-old Lewis will walk away from the game because he wants to spend more time with his two sons. Lewis was the AP Defensive Player of the Year in 2000 when Baltimore won the Super Bowl title. He won that award again in 2003. In a direct challenge to the NCAA, Pennsylvania's governor claims in a federal and a lawsuit filed in yesterday that college sports governing body overstepped its authority and piled on when it slapped Penn State with heavy penalties over the Jerry Sandusky child molestation scandal. Governor Tom Corbett is asking that a federal judge throw out the sanctions, which include a $60 million fine and a 4-year ban on bowl games. He argues that they have harmed students, business owners, and others who had nothing to do with Sandusky's crimes. Well, the National Hockey League and the Players Association met deep into this morning after the union made its second counteroffer of the week in an effort to end the season-long lockout. Union Chief Donald Fear said after the bargaining session that there had been significant progress made on some but not all the issues. Commissioner Gary Bettman said negotiations would continue today. It's believed that the pension issue has become a major stumbling block in the negotiations. The lockout has entered its 110th day, and Bettman has said that the league told the union a deal needs to be in place by next week so a 48-game season could begin on January 19th. In his first comment since golf's governing bodies announced a plan to ban putters that are anchored to the body, Carl Peterson says the decision feels like a witch hunt. He says it wouldn't have been an issue if not for three of the last five majors being won by players using a belly putter. The ban, once approved, would not go into effect for another 3 years. Peterson has been using a broom handle putter for 16 years, and he says he will continue to use it this season. And organizers say the Des Moines Winter Games won't be held on just one weekend or under one banner. There still will be a polar plunge into a pond, racing sleds at Sleepy Hollow Sports Park, and snowball softball, but they and other events will be held this month and next. Sleepy Hollow events coordinator Mary Flatt told the Des Moines Register that the games hosted by the city since 2008 are not really a combined effort anymore, but she said all of Sleepy Hollow's Winter Games events will be held there on February 1st. Des Moines Park and Recreation Marketing Supervisor Jen Fletcher says concerns about the department's ability to handle so many events on one weekend and a desire to spread out the outdoor opportunities led to that change. That's Check of Sports this hour. I'm Jim Field, KJAN Sports.